Welcome to the Spodcasters, the only online sports talk show devoted exclusively to University of Kansas athletics. I'm Kevin Romery, and while most of you might know me as the 6 News Sports Director, in my spare time, I'm a Spodcaster. Each week, you can join me, Journal World Sports Editor Tom Keegan, and show host Andy Samuelson on the Spodcasters at KUSports.com. We offer our creative takes on the latest developments in the KU sports world, plus we offer special guests such as Journal World KU basketball beat writer Gary Bedore, whose insight on the Jayhawk basketball world is unparalleled. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.
Welcome back to the Spodcasters. Joined by the OG of Spodcasting again, Tom Keegan, back in the house. How's the trip, Tom?
I'm doing great. I wasn't here last podcast, so that means I get to talk twice as much today.
It was so much shorter last time without him.
Consider yourself warned.
Also joined today by the Lawrence Journal World KU football beat writer, Ryan Wood. Nice to have you here.
Guys, I'm honored. I'm honored to be here.
Big
in
day
the
for you. You're probably really happy to have this week over.
I got
you?
To sleep in this morning. I'm very happy I did.
And also to my right, Kevin Romery. You might know him from Channel 6 Sports.
Not sure why I'm here today. It's because these guys know what they're talking about, but glad to be here as usual. It's a good week to be in KU Sports.
And for all you Spodcasters listeners out there, a new feature this week, starting from now on, send us your email and we will read it on the air on the Spodcasters.
We'll read the best email, the email of the day, and maybe a couple others.
We've gotten some requests, obviously, folks. We've been reading your comments online underneath where you can click onto our Spodcasting. And there's a demand. People want to be heard. We're surprised people were listening. We thought we were just a bunch of jokers when you started this thing.
Yeah.
But now we've got to make this legit. So send us your email. The email of the day, we had the rap song. That was an email of the day.
From Japan.
Right, kind of got this thing started. So we'll make that a feature here if you guys start sending them in. And the email address is
Spodcasters@KUSports.com. That's SPODCASTERS at KUSports.com.
And we'll read the email of the day in Spodcasters. Faces for radio, voices for print.
That's a good one, Tom. Well, let's start out with Wood. Big week for KU football.
It is. And by all the work I did, I'm well aware of that, yes. So we had
Is that the smallest violin playing my heart?
My boss has been riding me lately. And we had signing day yesterday and all over, not just KU, but high schools, colleges all over the place. Thousands of kids signed their letters of intent. And KU got 21 of them yesterday. So it's kind of a big day for college football fans and really festive. And it's becoming like a holiday. It's getting really weird in that regard, but it's really become a holiday.
You had the day off yesterday?
No.
Funny holiday.
Yeah. I don't get holidays off. Come on.
That's a big one, though. You're right that 21 out of 21, no decommits among the high school
really
recruits.
Weird. And I saw someone on a message board said that he thinks the only two schools that had no decommits were Kansas and Southern California. So,
and naturally, you group those together all the time when you're talking about great football, right?
Right, right.
Very easily.
When you're talking about Roderick Stewart, you put those together all the time. But otherwise, no. But 21 for 21 is just a remarkable feat when you consider where recruiting has gone as far as people flip flopping, backing out. A lot of times these kids commit 6-7 months ahead of time. Then no one talks about him anymore, and they say, wait a minute, I want to be featured on the internet as weighing my options still. They still got coaches giving them love, and so they say, you know what, I'm going to reopen my recruitment. None of these guys did this. None of them visited anywhere else. No one ever considered going anywhere else in any serious manner, and now they're all Kansas Jayhawks.
You know what that tells me? That Mark Mangino can really connect. He really knows how to reach young people. And then when he gets here, he tries to coach him up. But that, to me, is really encouraging news.
And he's obviously finding his kind of guys, the kind of guys that once they make a commitment, they like coach well enough to where they're happy that this is the system and this is the program that they feel that they fit in the best.
That's a good sign for coachability.
Yeah, I mean, Gino was really disappointed by last year. I think by my count, about 7 guys committed to KU and then didn't end up coming here for a variety of reasons. And afterwards, Mangino said, yeah, I'm a big fan of an early signing day. We need to do something to stop this. We spend too much money babysitting these recruits. And I think he really made it a point and had a lot of recruiting strategy involved to make sure that these guys don't stray and fall in love with the attention they get from being open and out there. So, They did a phenomenal job keeping all these guys. That's really impressive.
That would be my question to you, Ryan. What did Coach maybe do differently this season that maybe he had not done in his first two or three here at Kansas?
Well, I think he looked more on the character side of things and said, hey, you know, and he really stressed it at the time of the commitments and said, hey, if you're going to commit to us, you better make sure it's for real, and you better be a man of your word and everything like that. And you know, everyone, every kid at the time is going to say it, but, you know, he doesn't recruit just these kids. He recruits their family. He recruits their high school. He recruits their high school coaches, teachers, everything. And, you know, and that's a lot of cases where he does background checks on a lot of these guys. And, you know, he tells a lot of recruits, you know, I'm around you guys more than I'm around my family. And I don't want any knuckleheads, is what he says.
And just looking at the list, it sounds like these guys are just average Joes. You have Jason Thompson, John White, Carl Wilson. No names really stand out there, really?
Yeah, right. Let me look.
Check out the pronunciation guide on the bottom of that thing.
We have a poll that Andy Samuelson put together on KUSports.com of the best names on signing day. And there's some good ones here, Sammy. You want to go through them?
Well, I'm going to go with my favorite. How about Xavier Rambo? Can anybody get better than that? I mean, you know.
That kid's got to be tough.
Yeah,
you can't walk around with a name like that and not be tough.
Yeah, you gotta love that, and good receiver on top of that too. So he's not coming here for his name, but it certainly doesn't hurt to have a name
he's
like that.
He's from Dallas, and a big hotbed for KU recruiting.
Oh yeah,
an interesting story. You've talked about him, Ryan. He's been to a couple different high schools, not by his choice, the last 2 years.
Yeah, him and Anthony Webb are both from the Dallas area. Both are good friends, and they originally went to Wilmer Hutchins High School in Dallas, which had some severe financial problems and some real shady business going on there. You might know a little bit more than me being a Dallas guy yourself, Romery.
And a shady businessman at that.
I'm not sure how to take that exactly. Why would I know about that, Wood?
You know, Wilmer Hutchins closed down, I believe. The whole school did, or the whole athletic program?
Yeah, the whole school did, actually. And the athletic program, they had all kinds of problems. They had people that were working there, teachers and administrators, that would just go in and after school walk out with computers. They were just taking things from the schools. And
allegedly.
I mean, it was a huge deal. And so the financial problem, they had no money for anything.
They had to go find another place to play, and they found their home at South Oak Cliff, playing for J.B. Wallace Jr. He's a very fun guy to talk to as a coach, and, you know, I've kind of kept track of them, and they both had really good years, and now they're at KU. And you have Xavier Rambo, you have Maxwell Onyebule.
Say that again?
Maxwell Onyebule.
Just for me.
I've been practicing. He's from Arlington, Texas, another Metroplex guy. You'll notice this, you know, there's a trend. There's a lot of guys here from the Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington areas, and that's something they hit really hard with Tim Beck and former coach Dave Dorn. You go on, Olaiten Ogentodu.
You sure?
That's
one of my favorites. That is absolutely right. You got Dante Bean.
That's underrated. I mean, let's give it up for Dante Bean. That's a good name.
Beano.
He's a fresh of breath air after the last three you just
Dante said. Bean's one of my favorites because he's a baseball player. You guys know him, a baseball guy. And he's a phenomenal center fielder, I guess, with incredible range out there, a great 60 time, who's got the attention of some professional scouts. So, you know, I think all indications are he's going to end up coming to KU and not going pro right away. But you could see him on the KU baseball field sometime during his 4 years.
Will Coach Mangino allow that? Because they flirted with Charles Gordon doing the same thing in center field, and Coach was not necessarily a huge fan of that. Would he let Coach Price borrow a football player?
Well, yeah, it's got to be, I think, under the same parameters that Gordon was forced with, whether you say you don't miss a single spring practice, you don't miss any conditioning time for baseball or for football. And if you still have time to go play baseball, and Coach Price is okay with that,
the baseball team's in Hawaii right now. What do you mean I can't miss any days in spring practice?
1-0,
yeah. Big win for the Jays last night. 11-1 victory. A couple home runs from Jared Schweitzer and Gustin Milner.
1-0, 60 to go.
Yeah, 1-0, 60 to go. That's the fight theme tonight.
Yeah.
How about a recruit or a freshman this year that also had a track background, Caleb Blakesley? Is he running? I mean, is he throwing the shot this year?
No, I never heard. I never did hear. I don't know. I know he's playing on. He certainly had the talent to be a Division I shot put thrower, and he won state at least once. I can't remember if he won it twice.
Oh, last year too. I mean,
yeah, so
threw that
he's
big
Kansas
one,
Relays
big
champions,
there.
and it just that just goes to show you. You know, and you got guys like Dante Bean and Caleb Blakesley that are coming in that are these just phenomenal athletes in more than one sport. A lineman that's being able to throw the shot put and do that whole motion and still throw a shot put 65 feet is a good athlete. So, you know, Caleb Blakesley is a huge get, and I think he'll be an impact player next year.
So who do you think has got the best chance of playing immediately? Usually linemen need to redshirt and beef up a little. They're a little short at receiver, and they're a little short in the secondary. thanks in part to Charles Gordon leaving more on the receiver than the secondary, but I would think Anthony Webb has a chance to play right away.
Yeah, I do. I think what you have to look at more so than who's the best players is who plays at the position with the most need. Who would have thought that, you know, James Holt and Russell Brorson be the two guys that played out of last year's freshman class? They were kind of the they certainly weren't the headline players. That'd be Kerry Meyer, but you know, they weren't guys that you would even consider when it comes to who's going to be immediate impact players. So, you know, anything by now would be just a guess. I'd say Anthony Webb certainly has a shot. They rave about him and how talented he is, and the cornerback position is so thin right now. Aqib Talib's the only guy coming back right now because they lost the Amadi brothers.
Which is crazy because you thought at the beginning of the year with Aqib and Charles back there that for the next 2 years the secondary at least on both sides of the corners were set, but that's not the case now.
A year ago, Aqib Talib was a safety. So, you know, this is certainly a different cornerback situation than any of us could have imagined at this point, but one guy back. And so, you know, there's Anthony Webb. They got two junior college guys that are going to probably step in right away. But as far as high school freshmen go, I'd say Bradley Dedeau at tight end because they're really thin at tight end. And other than that, I think Anthony Webb would have a good shot if he's as good as everyone says he is.
Now, Jake Sharp from Salina led the nation with something like 66 touchdowns.
66 million touchdowns.
Yeah.
He scored as many touchdowns as the KU football team has in the last 8 years.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe the competition.
I bet it's close.
The competition might not have been as good, but he's a little bit undersized, real fast. I saw some film of him. Great balance. Mm-hmm. This is a wild idea. Any chance they could teach him that position to play at the college level, and he could do it right off the bat?
What, defensive back?
Yeah.
Oh, it's possible. I think he was a defensive back a little bit in high school when he wasn't running for 66 million touchdowns. But, yeah, I mean, that's something, and that, it's not a wild idea at all at this KU program. And Gino likes to play with his toys and likes to, you know, find out where the
he's
best thing for him.
He's not afraid
to
move people.
Nick Reed was a safety for a little while. You know, Zach Dyer played quarterback and safety for a little while. I mean,
Charles Gordon was the first team All-American at defensive back, and he moved into offense.
Charles Gordon would have been a quarterback if Swanson ever got hurt. So, you know, he's one of those that's not big on keeping a guy at one position at all. So
if you think of him, though, Sharp, and you've seen video of him,
he's 5'10". That's the problem. He's 5'10". But, you know,
how tall is Gordon?
Gordon was about that, too. He's 5'9", 5'10".
He's listed at what, 6'8"?
I think he's listed at 5'11", which, you know, if he's 5'11", then I'm about 5'11", too.
Big cleats.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Aqib Talib's a 6'2 guy, and that's basically, you know, you want to go that route with an Anthony Webb's listed at 6', so who knows what he is. But, yeah, Jake Sharp, I don't think that's out of the question. I haven't seen him as a defensive back. All the film I've seen is him as a running back, and he's a good one. But I could definitely see him, especially returning punts and kicks right away. And then running back might be something they ease him into. But I don't think cornerback's out of the question either. Why not?
Hey, Wood, how about the defense? Obviously, they lost the core position of linebackers. A lot of people know that there's some younger guys that aren't going to be freshmen that are in there. Any of these freshmen have a chance to make an impact in there? Or are we looking at last year's freshmen, like with Duncan and
I wouldn't say right away. I think Capra's going to redshirt. I think Dakota Lewis isn't big enough. Jeremy Terry isn't big enough. He's 190 pounds. Can't be a Division I linebacker at 190.
Not
so.
In the Big 12. Not and be a good one.
Yeah, so I could see all these linebackers getting ticketed for a redshirt. Looks like Anya Boulay is 6'4", 220. That ain't bad. But I think they're really, you know, despite losing Kane and Reed and Fleming, they're actually don't have bad depth at that position.
Duncan, Washington.
Rivera.
Rivera is a hard hitter. He's big.
And, you know, they got a lot of guys there that can step right in. So
some of these guys might end up being safeties in college.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, but the thing is with these linebackers is, you know, that they don't like to pull the red shirt on a player unless they absolutely need to have him. They absolutely needed Brorson because they didn't have any other tight ends on the roster besides Fine.
And look at the impact that had on Derek Fine's season.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a fantastic tight end for the next couple of years.
Oh, yeah. He'll be the guy in the next couple of years. And you know, Holt was a guy they would have redshirted, but he was so good on special teams, and we saw that out of him all year. He was one of those guys that smells blood, and so they used him there. They're not going to.
So does Rambo.
Yeah,
Rambo smells blood.
Xavier Rambo.
Without even knowing it, I can guess that he does. So, yeah, there's
he's probably so sick of hearing people talk about his name. Poor kid.
Now, if he starts,
who wouldn't love to have that name? Come on, who wouldn't love to have that name?
It sounds like an actor's name, if you know what I'm talking about.
We're still going.
Anyway, what's that email address we can send emails to as soon as they set that up?
Spodcasters at KUSports.com. Send us your emails.
Funny ones, mad ones.
Headlines, if you think if Rambo's the first to play, Rambo draws first blood. Yeah, stuff like that. Come on.
Actors' names, stuff
not?
Like that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Your favorite city?
We're open. Wichita, would that be Andy?
That might be mine. You know,
Wichita
other people.
Moment brought to you by the same yeah. man.
The Rambo. Wichita moment brought to you by this bullet.
All right, well, let's switch gears. Actually, let's talk about the JUCOs. They also signed four JUCOs that people might have forgot a little bit about.
Well, they signed four. Three are here.
Three are here.
Yeah, what happened to the tight end?
Yeah, Mark Jones is a tight end out of Kilgore, Texas. And basically, when you're a mid-year signee, and you sign in December like all four of these junior college guys did, Mangino likes mid-year signees because they get in here for spring ball and they make immediate impacts. He's had several of those guys really pan out. Theo Baines comes to mind, Jermile Ashley.
He said he liked those JUCO guys, but he didn't necessarily like high schoolers to do that.
Right, right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting that he said that because he's one of those guys, and you got to respect this. He likes the high school guys that enjoy their senior year, go to senior prom.
Because then it's all over.
Yeah.
because then it, man. Coach Mangino owns you.
Because that's
and you don't
it.
Get to do anything.
So, but these junior college guys, in order to sign in December and get there by January, you got to have your associate's degree by then. Mark Jones, the tight end, didn't get his. And he thought he would, didn't get his. So he's got to stay in school and get his associate's degree through May. He can't come to a Division I school yet.
So they still have him locked up then?
No. not what I've heard, no. He signed a letter of intent. He cannot sign a letter of intent anywhere else, but since he didn't get his associate's degree, it's not binding, which is weird. So I guess they have to recruit him through May now and make sure he still wants to come here in the summer, and then once they get him enrolled in summer school, he's KU's property. But he's kind of a free agent right now, and from what I hear, that he's still wanting to come here eventually, but it's a very interesting little loophole that they found.
Yeah, it's too bad they have that one thing hanging over their heads because – I don't know if people realize this or not, but signing day for college football coaches and assistant coaches is kind of like April 15th for accountants.
The first night of vacation.
Yeah, you just let you exhale and you just go out and have a blast.
Let loose
and you don't show
wine.
Up for work for a few days. He's giving them all off next week.
I imagine all the assistants are taking a little bit of time off. This is the right year to do it. They'll take another week off in the summer, but the last night I imagine was a night to undo the belt and unwind a little bit for him because that's
the bars did good business last night.
They might have.
And also for all you young ballers out there, again, I don't know if you know how important that associate degree is. I mean, I earned mine from Utah State. And,
I
don't think
college.
I could be spodcasting right now without that bad boy.
I went to a junior college and did not earn my associate degree. I feel dumber for it. So.
Really? C's get degrees so is my motto. But so if you're young, shoot for B's.
So you're still a free agent, Wood. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I did get anywhere. My bachelor's degree, but not my associate's.
You're about ready to give that up too, aren't you?
I should. So, yeah,
well, we're about to be joined by DJ Weather for KU Basketball Talk. But
I
let's
love this guy.
Throw
DJ.
One more question oh, okay. Wood's way. How about the quarterback? Is there a little competition with Todd Reesing?
I think there will be. I think Kerry Meyer's definitely the front runner for the job. But you can't just hand the reins over to the freshman and say, do it. You know, you got to have a guy breathing down his neck. I don't know if Adam Barman would be the guy to breathe down Kerry Meyer's neck, but Reesing might be. You know, he's a guy that's a lot like Whittemore in a lot of ways. He's undersized, but he's such a dual threat guy, and he can really throw the ball. So, you know, they have a lot to look forward to with him.
Ah, the job is Kerry Myers.
Yeah, Keegan has loved him from the get-go. We will probably get to see here pretty quick.
Kerry Meyer and Micah Downs fan.
How'd that one work out?
Let's see how that one, yeah.
And with that, let's wrap up our
football talk.
Back
to work
talk.
For you.
Yeah. Kerry Meyer transfers to Gonzaga mid
like
semester.
Like George Costanza, I'm leaving on a high note.
I'm out of here on a high note.
Guys, enjoy the day.
Speaking of breathing down people's necks, let's bring in DJ Wetter from Channel 6. DJ, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. Let me get in on this football conversation because I know my Hawks. Yeah, right. I'm not.
It's our sideline guy. He better know the Hawks.
No, I do. I've studied though, and it was interesting. I was listening to an interview from Kevin Kane the other day.
But go ahead.
That's what I said.
You said interview, but go ahead.
I said and.
Go ahead.
Don't question me. Look at this. We're off.
Spodcasters
off
of KUSports.com.
Off to a rough start, but an interview by Kevin Kane, and he said, of all of that group that's leaving, including Perkins and Como, he said, the guys that are behind us have more talent than any of us ever did. So, I mean, you want to talk about they were a great group and they knew what they were doing. But, boy, he believes that this group that's coming up has a ton more talent. And if that pans out, KU linebacking core, defense is probably in good hands.
Let's just hope they have the same work ethic as those guys that were the linebackers, because that is what made those guys great.
That's exactly right.
Talent is great and work ethic, even if they have that. But until you have experience, you're not reacting without thinking. You know, initially in their early play, they're going to be thinking, what am I supposed to be doing? Did you ever see Nick Reed out there thinking? Did you ever see Charlton Keith thinking? No, they were reacting. So let's give these guys a little bit of leeway before we start judging them and comparing them to the senior class that's on its way out.
Thinking about killing the quarterback. That's about all those guys ever thought about.
And they were darn good at it.
Well, maybe these athletic guys behind them learned from some guys that obviously know what they're doing. So that might be exciting for KU fans.
Well, speaking of football, Super Bowl is this Sunday, but there's also a matchup that a lot of KU fans are going to be interested in, the Oklahoma-Kansas game.
Schmooper Bowl. Who's watching that?
I might watch the Rolling Stones at halftime.
Just in case something weird happens
at halftime.
In case
they die of old age.
In case naked people run out on stage or something.
I'll watch the Super Bowl, but that's just
the Super Bowl's this weekend?
But we're talking about KU Sports now. This isn't SuperBowl.com.
All right, there is a connection.
There's a game at noon on Sunday.
Do you want the connection? Earl Moseley, the KU running backs coach, was Jerome Bettis' running backs coach at Notre Dame.
How about that? Another Jerome Bettis story this week.
I believe it's just running backs.
Does anybody know that he's from Detroit? Does anybody know? Do we need to tell anybody that?
Who's from Detroit?
Holy mackerel. That's been a...
So you've been reading these stories.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Well, I knew it was getting bad when on ESPN this morning they had Kermit the Frog doing interviews. They had who else? It was just out of control.
Those questions that you get on media day, the dumbest questions ever.
If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
Doug Williams, how long have you been a black
quarterback? You know what, though? Google that. Google that, and you'll find out that that's not what he asked.
Yeah, you're right. It's something close to that.
Not even close. A perfectly good one, and it got twisted into.
Yeah, but it's much funnier when you tell it that way, Tom. You just ruined my whole joke.
The
real one's not funny, is it?
I'd be a
no. The real one's not funny at all.
We didn't call anybody out.
If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Andy, Sam, you mentioned Texas.
I'd be an oak tree.
No, you mentioned the
he'd
two
be
teams
a weeping willow.
Chasing Texas. That would be Oklahoma and Kansas have That's a game true. Sunday.
What's the official at the tree of Wichita? House.
Pawn.
A pawn shop.
Okay, speaking of Wichita, we got Oklahoma has a Wichita product.
Taj Gray.
Pretty good one, too. Yeah, Taj Gray, Kevin Bookout. It's a good thing that the KU big men stepped up against Tech, because I think they're going to be in a battle this Sunday.
Well, I think the good thing is that they've got a lot of depth up front, and they will be in a battle. This is just the kind of game where you could see Lazarus happen. By that, I mean you could see C.J. Giles come back from the dead and put the clamp somewhat on Taj Gray, who may be a little bit overrated himself.
Wow.
Whoa.
I don't know. Keegan's going out on the limb here. I don't know if C.J. Giles is ready to make his appearance in the biggest game of the year when he's been invisible for the last 2 months.
Pretty good against Cal.
Taj Gray made it pretty good.
That was like how long ago?
When did they play Cal? Was Jason,
December 11th,
was Jason Kidd on that team? I think Tony Gonzalez was a forward, wasn't he? Holy cow, that was a long time ago.
Tony Gonzalez, KU connection. Curtis Townsend, I believe, was an assistant coach at Cal at the time. But anyways, C.J. Giles, is that such a ridiculous thought that he could come back from the dead and slow down Taj Gray and help lead KU to victory? Is it a ridiculous thought?
Yes.
I would have to go with yes, but I'm not saying that they can stop Taj. I mean, I think they can stop Taj Gray, but I don't know if it's going to be just Chester doing it.
Not sure what Tom's been doing on his off days when he hasn't been here, but it might have been illegal.
Not watching tapes of CJ.
I wouldn't be putting any of my American dollars on that bet. Maybe Sasha, maybe Darnell. Those guys at least having a bigger impact, because I think those two guys will bang with Taj Gray, and I think that's what the big men have to do in this game, because I can promise you that Taj Gray and Kevin Bookout will bang the Jayhawks like they have not been hit yet this year. And the only two guys that we've seen all year that will hit you back are Sasha Khan, just because he's kind of in the way sometimes, he bangs into you, and then Darnell Jackson, who has obviously improved greatly lately.
And he's got a great body for a banger.
And if anything,
that's why he's out there.
If anything, I got to go with Kevin Romer, which pains me to say this.
This is rare.
The fact that D-Jax would be a more likely candidate to step up than C.J. Giles. One thing C.J. may give you is at least his height. I mean, Taj and Kevin They're not big, good tall size, guys, but they're not the tallest guys. Centers, is my point really here. So if CJ can get in and get his block on, have a little block party, as the kids like to say, then you know things may start working in his favor. But I think he has to set the tone on defense if CJ is going to have a good game before he does anything on the offense.
Oh, of course. I wasn't even talking about offensively. I was talking about slowing down Taj Gray. And I think he could do that.
I agree athletically with you that if anybody on the KU team matches up with him athletically with his athleticism, Taj Gray's being, it is C.J. Giles, but we've been saying that about C.J. all season long, that he is the most athletic and the most, he's got the most, you know, promise of all these guys, but we haven't seen it. And maybe,
we saw
he
gave
right.
Leon Poe fit against Cal 2 months ago.
He did. That was a couple of months ago. And wasn't Poe injured and just kind of getting back? Am I way off on that? Maybe I'm wrong. Is that wrong? Who was no. Was somebody injured just coming back in a game around there?
Was Poe injured? I don't even remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
he had been. Well, the deal,
I think Jason Kidd was
Poe
injured.
Missed last year, and that was one of those early games. And so he was just really getting back going. And so I don't want to take anything away from CJ because he did play very good in that game. But
very well, yeah.
As you said, that was in a different year. That was a long time ago.
And let's not take anything away from the Taj. I mean, how about the big game that he had against Texas?
Didn't they rename the place Wichita?
And more. Yes. I think that, you know, that whoever won the beauty pageant, I think she might have had the Thunder back.
Did you have that line written down? You have that line written down on a sheet over there?
No, I don't.
That
but Taj, also, let's talk about Terrell Everett also had his
playing
career game against Texas.
Yeah, even though one of those three-pointers was a bank.
Two were banks.
And there is nothing wrong with a bank three-pointer, I'll tell you that.
from experience.
It's hard to pull off. You got to kiss it.
Yeah, this
soft touch.
This game will not be the free-flowing game that we have seen the last three or four times out. It's never a free-flowing game when you play Oklahoma because there's going to be a lot of free throws.
Well,
there's going to be a lot of fouls. You're going to get hit hard. And that, you know, KU can still win that game, but those big guys are going to, they don't have to score. They're going to have to bang inside. Obviously, Oklahoma has the advantage inside. Outside, though, I think it's pretty clear now that probably KU has the advantage.
This game is just a clash of tempos, isn't it? I mean, if KU is able to play its up-style game and allow turnovers to lead to offense, allow that transition game to start working, then the Jayhawks have the advantage. But if Oklahoma can settle down, play their half-court set, and they can bang down low with Taj and Kevin, look out for the Sooners.
And you know Denim the Menace is going to bring his inside game. That's right. Kelvin Sampson, he's going to bring the blue shirts and the banging down low. Denim the Menace, write that down.
Denim the Menace. I love it. You're hot today, Andy Sam. Podcasters at KUSports.com.
Breaking the guy to the shell. How long did it take? This is the same guy that was whispering on the first Podcasters months ago.
I wanted to make sure people were listening.
Turn up your speech.
You know, they're capable of turning the ball over, though, DJ. You mentioned that, you know, that's how KU triggers a break. But, yeah, they're doing a better job, Oklahoma's guards, but still, they can turn it over.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Oklahoma beating Texas gives Kansas that break they needed maybe to get back in the race. Obviously, probably way too early to talk about that. But, you know, a win over OU, you're looking right down back at Texas now.
Yeah, it's never too early to talk about that.
I think the best thing that KU has going for it, at least defensively, with Drew Lavender leaving Oklahoma last year, Sooners don't have a real point guard. And if there's anything that you want to have playing this KU team now with Russell Robinson and Mario Chalmers playing great on the ball defense and wreaking havoc right at midcourt, you really need to have a point guard to take this team on. And I think Oklahoma's biggest problem is going to be getting into their offensive sets and just getting down there to get the ball to Taj Grays and the Kevin Bookouts and those guys. I think KU will cause them a lot of problems right there.
And then on the back end, if they do get the ball down there, CJ will be swatting
CJ
shots.
Will come out of nowhere, block a shot, and as he runs down the floor, slap a high five with Tom Keegan on press row. Say, that's for you, Big Daddy. I was listening. That's for you.
You think he listens to this podcast?
No chance.
Let me ask you this. Do the height of the Oklahoma guards worry you at all? Because the last time KU faced a team that, and we go back to the Missouri game a little bit there, but Gardner had some size. And I know the quick hands played a role, but, boy, the height allowed Gardner just to fire up some shots. And so you've got 6'1 and 6'1 with Mario and Russell, but the Oklahoma guards all start at 6'4 and up. So a little issue there maybe.
I think that's a fair point. And it is a little worrisome, but the way you combat that is you get under him and you force him into turnovers.
Or you play a zone, which I think we'll probably see some.
Probably.
Especially with those two big guys, because there's a chance KU will get into a little bit of foul trouble like they haven't seen in a while. And I think we will see a zone from KU, and I'm sure we'll see a zone at some point from Oklahoma.
Now, Darnell Jackson's from Oklahoma. I'm sure Kelvin Sampson tried to get him, didn't he? Anybody know?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. I'd have to ask Gary.
He may
not
know
exactly
too much about
sure,
his
yeah.
problems back in the OK sizzle.
Okay, Sizzle.
That's what I'm calling it.
He's hip with the kids.
I think Darnell might have been an early commitment, right?
Yeah, he was pretty early on, but I'm not sure what other schools actually took him.
Taj Gray from Kansas. Kansas did not get
him. How about it?
But they actually they recruited him a little bit.
You'd think the state's bordered or something.
That's true.
Leavenworth was, by the way, when a guy used to play up there.
Wayne Simmons.
Yeah, him. Yeah. Can't think of another one for Leavenworth.
He was pretty good. What's that email address again, Andy?
That's spodcasters@kusports.com. So,
you think it's up and running yet? Email yourself. See if you can get it.
I will try that. I don't have email in here. But
email of the week. It's a new feature here. We don't have anything to give you. Yet DJ can mail you a business card or something, maybe. I don't know.
I just got business cards. I'm big time.
So we don't have really any prizes or anything. But
you got hired.
You know, if you request it, say, if I'm the winner, I want a DJ Wetter business card. He'll sign it.
It'll be the first thing I've signed ever. So.
Good for one free lawn mowing from DJ Wetter.
I thought we were going to mention my side business, but that's fine.
Don't you think that'll be worth a lot of money someday, though, the first autograph from DJ Wetter?
All right, let's move this along.
Honestly, do not fold on the envelope to make sure it gets there in pristine condition.
That's funny, fellas. Hilarious.
All right, around the table, Andy, Sam, who wins this game, Texas or Oklahoma?
Well, they just played, and since I called Texas. Oklahoma.
Kansas or Oklahoma.
Playing football or something?
Well, since
Andy's on fire.
The Cotton Bowl?
Since I got that game right.
You know, yes, you did.
What game you didn't get right? Well, last game.
What he said, which is why I had Texas on the brain. Andy Sam said Texas would lose to Oklahoma, and then Oklahoma would lose to KU.
That's right.
You going to stick with that?
Yeah, I'll stick with it, but I don't think that Taj gets completely shut down. I will say this. If he gets some foul trouble, that would be a good thing for the Jays. Because
really, I thought it'd be a bad thing.
That is some mighty fine deductions we got there.
Analysis.
Calling them Jays.
This guy's straight from the top.
All right, I'll take
Jays mean something else in the
top. Puts up 20.
Jayhawks.
KU sneaks out the victory. That's what you want? That's what you get.
Scoring how many?
And Bettis gets his touchdown, and Steelers win by 3.
Wow. That's pretty good.
What else do you want?
I want Kevin Romery's predictions.
I get the feeling over here calling 1-800 numbers, trying to get Father Cleo over here.
Those are not 1-900 with us.
I think KU's rolling. They're at home. I can't imagine why I picked KU to win last week when a couple people in here didn't, and that seemed to work out okay. And I think KU probably wins this game. I think it's going to be much lower scoring. KU has averaged 90 points a game during this 4-game run, but they're not going to get to 90 in this one. KU's been shooting 56% during this 4-game run. I don't think the Hawks will get there either, but I think 48%, rebound well, and score 70 points, and you win this game, and I think KU will.
He calls them the Jays. He calls them the Hawks. What do you say, DJ? How do you think the Jayhawks are going to do this weekend?
I'm going to say this. If OU scores fewer points than the Jayhawks, I think the Jayhawks will pull this one out. Just like
that's
Andy
straight
Sandman.
Out of Andy Sandman.
I'm going to go with the Samuelson analysis on that one. And so,
I said two fouls early.
Okay. The story grows. No, I really fouls. Think the run continues. I think these guys are excited about playing in Allen Fieldhouse. And really, for the first time all year, I thought the Texas Tech game, they looked excited to be there. They looked like they wanted to be a part of the Allen Fieldhouse crowd, and they weren't afraid that they might do something wrong. The run will continue. They will beat Oklahoma. I like a 9-point victory.
Good.
KU 79, OU 70.
Wow, 79. That's a lot of points.
9-point victory. That's
I know.
A lot,
I'm telling you, the tempo is the key, and I think KU, if they're going to win, they're going to need to score.
And speaking of Texas Tech, that's one of the worst teams ever coached by Bobby Knight. It was kind of sad to see, to tell you the truth.
They've been bad a couple times this year. And and I'm really surprised because I thought Jarius Jackson and Martin Zeno would be better. But now you kind of see why. I mean, I think Zeno's a nice player, but he didn't really get recruited by anybody, and now you kind of know why, that he's a nice additional player, but he's not the leader of your team.
Yeah, these kids don't like, I guess American kids don't like playing for the guy they see throwing chairs on TV. Maybe he should go to Europe and get the talent, and all they know about Bobby Knight in Europe pretty much is that he's a legend. Yeah, so maybe that's the way to go.
Remember me. I haven't spoken in about 15 minutes, but I'm
welcome back.
I was listening to the Spodcasters live right here next to DJ the whole time.
He opened the door.
So I'm the first listener of this show, and I just wanted to say, I'm going to make a prediction here, too, and I want to say the last time I predicted a basketball game on the Spodcasters, I predicted Missouri to win by 1 point in 5 overtimes, and I was closer than anybody else.
Wow.
Think about it. I'm going to do that again. KU 88, Oklahoma 86, and three overtimes.
Wow.
Ooh,
if
a
that
classic.
Happens, we're all going to miss the first quarter of the Super Bowl.
Who cares about the Super Bowl?
Wait
I'd
a
rather
minute.
See five overtimes.
This is the guy that brought the Super Bowl up a minute. I was the one who said, who cares about it?
Yeah, but if you can see a five, what is it, a three overtime?
Three overtimes. Three overtimes.
Triple overtime. Who hits the game winner?
Oh, man. Steven Vincent.
Glass.
Because everyone else fouls out.
By that point.
What are the other KU connections to the
Super
Bowl?
Nolan Cromwell is an assistant coach on the Seahawks.
Right.
That's one.
True story.
I don't know. There's a lot of Seattle-born
Mike
players
McCormick.
On the KU basketball team. There you go.
Three of them.
Who do you like in the game, Wood?
The Super Bowl? I like Seattle. I think they're a better team.
Seneca Wallace.
Seneca
played
Wallace
against KU.
He caught a pass.
Yes, he did. That's a weak connection.
I like Seattle
I'm
just because I think Seattle is a more talented team than Pittsburgh. I think Sean Alexander is going to have a good day, and I think Seattle is going to win by 7 points.
I've got a Super Bowl connection for you, Tom. I used to live outside Detroit.
Whoa.
There you go.
And that's my prediction, too. Detroit, tough city. Bettis, tough man. He wins in his tough town.
He better not fumble this time or they're going to lose.
KU 73, Oklahoma 67.
How many for Taj?
No overtimes.
With the
Taj, 11 points. We'll be having nightmares for weeks about C.J. Giles.
How many blocks for C.J.?
That's funny. KU fans have
five blocks.
KU
five
fans
blocks.
Been having nightmares for weeks about C.J. Giles, so they'll just continue.
How many points
go to the
for
pros,
CJ?
Please.
Oh, second round, doubt it.
I like the Seattle Seahawks by four.
I like Seattle as well.
I'll go with Pittsburgh.
It has nothing to do with the fact that these
I
two
I like how our predictions are kind of crossing over, and we're getting into two different games as we're predicting here. We're doing Super Bowl, then
I
Tom
predict
at KU, then we went back to the
Kansas
Super Bowl.
Kansas beats Seattle 84-61.
There you go.
What? Huh?
Toss State over the Taj. Oh, wait.
Confusing.
Hey, Toss State, 26 in the RPI. OU, 28.
Toss State's like the little brother to KU. You know, KU fans like to see Wichita State do well, too.
This connection there.
Too bad they haven't been in the NCAA tournament since
a long
time. Oh, big game Saturday for them. Yeah. Big game for Toss State Saturday against Southern Illinois. Saturday morning at 11:05.
All tied for first. Four teams tied again for first place in the Valley.
I believe it's on the Deuce, right? ESPN2?
I believe you're
correct. The Ocho.
I'll be there. And then at 1 o'clock, I'll be on my full court watching Marquette upset Villanova.
Where is that game?
That is in Philadelphia.
That's going to be
Yikes.
Trouble. What's the spread on that one?
Hey, you know,
I don't know. I don't do that.
KU played Villanova in Philadelphia. How'd that go for the Jayhawks?
Not really well. Actually, you know, in hindsight, when you look back, that was the game that catapulted Villanova into greatness.
And it was the beginning of the end for KU.
And it catapulted
something?
The Jayhawks to doom.
That referee's call, the traveling call last year against Villanova, he was not traveling, and they could have been the national champs or at the very least derailed Carolina.
We're going to go there. That's the same referee, or at least he's related to the guy that called the traveling on Aaron Miles last year in that Texas Tech game, and that was also a big downfall for the Hawks as well.
And I mean,
speaking of bad traveling calls.
You know, he did have a black eye. Maybe he did travel.
I once saw, can I get a load of this? I once saw a college basketball game that still Steve Wilmer was not officiating. Can you believe it?
Who knew?
He's every game you turn on, every game you go to, Steve Wilmer.
Hey, Tom, real quick, do you have a problem with the quick jump ball calls this year? Because they're driving me nuts. Just as a
yes.
fan of college basketball.
We talked about this.
Yeah. I was at the Marquette St. John's game last night. That's driving me nuts. And I'd like to see more fouling when you're down three. With a little time left in the game, why let them tie the game and send it into overtime?
The theory seems to be that you wait until you're under 10 seconds. I even heard under 6 seconds. Why? Why let them sit there at 20 and
well,
then you're
I guess,
not?
I guess if you give them too much time and then you got to rely on making the free throws at the other end and you continue to.
Well, I think from a coach's point of view, it is you'd rather have your defense set up and you figure you got five guys that can guard the three-point line. If you give them two free points, then you have to inbound. And if you make a bad pass, it's much easier then for them to get it. And then instead of tying and going to overtime, you can lose.
You
so
can
if you,
lose,
if you,
right.
If you give up the three, the worst-case scenario is overtime. If you foul, worst-case scenario is you lose.
But that's such a defensive mentality, isn't it? And most coaches are defensive, you know.
I think when you all of them are, you know.
Wouldn't you want to be more aggressive? For
Paul Westhead.
I mean, I'd take it a step farther.
How's that working?
Yeah.
I'd like
ran
to
out
see
of
more
gym
fouling
a long
overall.
Time ago.
You know, make them earn from the strike.
I think this is a good topic for the Spodcaster email of the week. Spodcasters@kusports.com.
Company guy right here.
A well-put plug by
look at this guy.
By Mr. Wood here.
We are the Spodcasters. Faces for radio.
And we're
voices for print.
And we're trying to get you guys more involved out there. So
writing
please send us some emails and make them funny, and we'll try to get some funny stuff on here.
Keep it clean. Because
we don't
fellas.
Have anything funny on here right now.
Like what you just heard? Then spread the word about the Spodcasters. It's sportscasting meets podcasting on your computer. No iPod, no problem. You can still get the Spodcasters online. Just point your mouse to kusports.com, click on the Spodcasters logo in the right column, then kick back and listen. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.